All right, if you will, open up to 1 Timothy. Go back there again, same as last week, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Did you guys know that there's a real enemy closer oftentimes than we realize? His name is Satan, and he is the one. But guess what? He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. And he has already been defeated. Has anyone ever told you that? Maybe you know what I just told you. That Satan is the enemy that is close. But did you know, he's already been defeated. That is the reality. Christ on the cross put him to shame. Christ, when he went to the cross, absolutely defeated. So when we talk about this topic of spiritual warfare, you have always got to keep in your mind the truth that Satan has already been defeated. You are fighting from a different position now. And especially if you are in Christ, there is no bad ending to the story. The problem is, until you go home to be with the Lord or he comes back, whichever happens first, Satan is still trying to disrupt right now. And his main effort is to deceive, just like we talked about last week. His goal is to deceive. And he is doing that, or attempting to do that, from within the body of Christ. So we exhausted that last week. If you were here, you may remember the key passage out of 2 Corinthians 11. But the reality is that Satan has his servants, his workers, disguised as workers of righteousness. And the goal, the effort, is to deceive from the highest level he can, which is the church, which is, according to 1 Timothy, the pillar and buttress of the truth. To deceive means that you are taking away, withholding, or keeping concealed the truth from someone that needs it. Why is that a big deal? Because a person, as we said last week, comes to know God, know about him specifically, savingly, comes to salvation, and then lives under his authority by understanding his word, which is what? His truth. So what is Satan's goal? Just to deceive. That's it. If he can get in at the highest level in terms of the church, his servants being the ones that are doing the preaching, doing the teaching, facilitating his lies getting all throughout, then he's covered great ground, right? And a lot of people are confused then. A lot of people would be deceived. Now, we're talking about at a big level. We're talking about false teachers. We're talking about confusion. Confusion. A lot of that stuff has already circulated down into all of our lives. That may be for you here today. And so when we talk about spiritual warfare, you may be thinking of it in a very personal context. It may be because of something that, a deception that Satan has just worked in just through your own thinking and through culture. Just kind of, you came into this world, you had parents, did the best they could. You took a little bit of what Hollywood gave you, a little bit of what the news gave you, a little bit of what the first grade teacher gave you, and you've just kind of drawn your conclusions in terms of what life is all about and how you're supposed to make it in this world. And now you are, you know, you don't know what to do about your temptations, you don't know what to do about your fear, your anxiety, your battle with this and that sin or whatever. And that is a reality. And all of that occurs still by the deception of Satan that he has planted throughout just life in the world, in the fallen creation. What we're coming back and talking about in this series, at least for last week and this week, is really the big, kind of a big, you know, overarching just false teachers and false teaching that go out into the church and work themselves out. As we talked about last week in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminded us of the false teachers, the servants of Satan, and what were they doing? How were they deceiving? They were teaching a different gospel. Remember that word or that phrase? We recalled the book of Galatians. What was the different gospel there? Gospel meaning the good news, right? Okay, great news. You can be saved of your sins, have eternity with the Lord, the best deal ever by grace through faith in Christ alone. That is it. But for the Galatians, what had happened? Someone had said, you got to add a little bit to Christ's work. Put your effort in. Basically, you need to be circumcised. And so Paul was saying, what are you talking about? Wasn't Christ's work enough on the cross? There's nothing more to do, basically. That's one of them. One false gospel or a different gospel. You see that all throughout. We attach things to the work of Christ. That may be in your background. You grew up in a certain church, and what you understood because of what was being talked about, being preached, was that in essence, I mean, there's still more for you to do to maintain your salvation, secure your salvation, get your salvation, or whatever. It's just a lie. Another extreme from the opposite end is a gospel of anti-works. Now, hang on, Matthew. I thought you said there's no works. James says that faith without works is dead. But we're not saying that you have works in order to be saved, but rather because you are saved. I know I sound like a broken record. I've said this all the time. If we still listen to records, I know that's not even CDs anymore. It's downloads. Can't be broken. Anyways, you get the point. Over and over and over and over. Repeat. It's all right, though, to have things repeated. Where in the world was I? Because of your salvation, it's worked out. It flows. If there is a new creation, then there is a new life. So if there is no new works, then there is no new creation. You with me? But some would say, you don't have to do anything or whatever. And I'd say, yeah, you don't have to in order to be saved. But good night. If you've got all of that, I mean, it's like you should have a new response in your heart. There should be something different coming out of your life if your heart's truly been changed. You with me? And there are a number of other false teachings, a number of other ways to look at that. So that was Satan's primary effort, is to deceive. Question for you now, right here this morning, is how have you been deceived? Are you still being deceived? Is there some teaching, is there some thought that is deep down inside of your heart that you just always taken as true and right? But we've got to do, as we see in Scripture, we've got to come back and weigh what's being told, as we finished out with last week. Now, for today, we'll talk about our primary effort. You say, all right, Matthew, that's it? What then do we do? What is our response? If the church is the pillar and the buttress of the truth, then we want to function as the pillar and buttress of the truth. If a pillar and a buttress upholds and supports and protects the truth, then there are some practical aspects to that. Our primary effort is to do exactly that. And that's what we see in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. The Apostle Paul laid out so clearly how we can respond. You may say, Matthew, our primary response or our primary effort in this war is to evangelize. Our primary response, our primary effort is to make disciples. Our primary response, our primary effort is this or that or whatever. But here's the issue. Everything that we do as this local body of believers spins out of, flows out of, comes out of the truth. So overall, it comes from us protecting, upholding, communicating, proclaiming the truth. If that's in corporate worship, if that's in all of life worship, if that's in sharing the gospel with people, it's all done and done rightly by understanding the truth. You see? That is why Paul placed such an emphasis on this. So just skate with me through some passages, and at the end of this, we'll come out of here and you'll see what the big idea is. Again, personally speaking, or for you personally, in terms of your own battles, let's just not forget a series weeks ago, I've mentioned it before, how to stand against Satan. You have something going on in your life. You've got a struggle. You're dealing with some kind of deception that you've really taken on as the truth in your heart. Then you can get all the help you need right there. Don't forget of the passage in James. Let me just read it to you. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. You don't know how to fight in this battle? You resist. By God's grace, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, your call is to see that, hear that, and say, ah, I resist him. How am I being tempted? All right then, I know my job is to resist. You say, Matthew, that just sounds hopeless. I can't resist anymore. Remember, the way that you resist is by the power of God in you holding to His promises that we just sang about and remembered. And there you have the mindset and the power, and still it's all of God's grace to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There you go. There's a personal thing for you. Draw near to God, James 4:8, and he will draw near to you. You're battling with something this week, possibly a sin, a temptation, a family strife, a struggle, lack of belief. Draw near to God. How do you do that? So many ways. Dig into His Word in prayer, the local church, connecting with other believers. Don't forget James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You hear that? Isn't that culture these days? You mean tell someone else about my sin? I can't be that honest. Guess what? You can be if it's true that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You ain't got anything to hide. You have no fear. You find a faithful brother or sister, and you go to him and you say, here's my struggle. Would you pray for me? There you go. You want to defeat Satan? His work? Confess your sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your own ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is good. He is faithful. Are you feeling hopeless today? Are you feeling like you're going down in this battle? Come back, draw near to the Lord and what He says in His Word. He's not going to let you go. He gives you a way out. Galatians 6:1-5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You want to fight together this corporate battle against Satan? Those of us who are not stumbling so extremely, in a loving heart and a gentle heart, go to the person that you know is and say, listen, bro, listen, sister, come back. Let me pray for you. What's happening? Don't you know the sirens are supposed to be going off in your heart? Don't you know the red lights are supposed to be visible? Don't you know? Come back. Right? That's what Paul said in Galatians to the church. Keep watch on yourself too, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You hear that? That's how we battle. We do this together. It's not you on your own. God's provided a big old family for you to fight this fight. But specifically then, even more specifically, what did Paul tell Timothy, this young pastor in Titus, if we get there, these young missionaries, what has to be central within these churches? What do we need to do? And therefore, what does every follower of Christ need to be passionate about? Exactly this. First thing, 1 Timothy 1:3. As I urge you, we read this last week. We're going to look at a different perspective. We looked at one perspective last week. Today, we're shifting perspective. As I urged you when I was in Macedonia, or when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. You hear that? Why is that so important? Because what we do flows from what we know and believe. The way that the church functions, the way that it operates, the way that the church is a pillar and buttress of the truth, practically speaking, flows from the doctrine that it digests. You hear that? And Satan is sowing different doctrine. So then the call to the local church, by extension, is to charge certain persons. Now that gets personal. A lot of people would say, you know, just mind your own business. Let God take care of them. You know, I've always seen, somebody would, is always out to get somebody else, and they're not worried about themselves. That's not the point. That is not what we're saying. But what we're saying, what he's saying, is that within the life of a local church, and even the church overall, and I'm not that faithful with this. I should be better. If there's a person that is teaching different doctrine, and you better be sure you understand that you've got the right doctrine, charge that person not to teach different doctrine. That's a call for us. Specifically, it says here, it goes to Timothy. So, I mean, you could, argue, well, that's just for one person, or that's for, a person serving in leadership. Well, a lot of ways to break that out and work that out. But our call is to do exactly that. There's a conference in California. I follow a blog. It's the Grace to You blog. And they're actually having a conference. It's called the Strange Fire Conference. And the whole purpose and goal is to expose the different doctrine. And it is to explain and educate followers of Christ about different doctrine and why it's incorrect. Now, the thought could be, well, that is so wrong. Why don't they just, mind their business? Why are you making this big stink about, what other people are saying? Why don't you just worry about yourselves? Again, I think the heart there, and I haven't talked to anyone personally that's doing the conference, but I think the heart there is to be faithful to what God calls the church to be and to do. And within their local sphere of influence, that's simply all they're doing. But it's really interesting. The strange fire, therefore, is taken from a passage of Scripture, the idea of strange fire. And what they're saying is that this false teaching is strange fire before the Lord. And something's got to be done about it. And we understand why. 1 Timothy 4, go over there with me. Look at this passage. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 16. We briefly looked at this from one perspective last week. Let's pick up here and look at another perspective today. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 16. Now, this is what's happening, guys. This is exactly what's going on. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Talk about spiritual warfare. Satan is at work, guys. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences have been seared. Now, let me say this. It's up to us, to you individually. I want to do the best job I can at being faithful to God's Word. But this is why Donald, gave such a challenge to the kids and the parents to go through God's Word with their children. And for us to work, to understand God's Word. I mean, you can easily take different passages and twist them to say something that is not the meaning. That's actually what's going on, all right? And so as you're listening, to various people, if you listen to other, teaching, or if you're watching something on television, it is up to you to come back and try to get a good handle on the Bible and the church to do the best we can so that you can identify exactly what it's describing here. This wasn't something that was happening a long time ago. This is still going on today. The teaching of demons. Can you imagine? I mean, how do you know if you have believed a teaching of demon and have shaped your whole pattern of life by it? Wow. That's some scary stuff. It's happening through the insincerity of liars. Verse 3, who forbid marriage. Here's specifically some of the ways that it works out. Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, here's the point for us today. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. What's the call? What was the call for Timothy there? What is the big principle for us to operate by now? Put these things before the church. What things? Everything he said before in this letter and everything that he's going to say after practically about what is the truth and how we're called to function as followers of Christ. It's just that simple. But there's our call. You know what our primary effort is in this battle? It is exactly that, to ensure that the things listed in all of Scripture and specifically right here in 1 Timothy are put before the brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because that overrides the deception, the lies of Satan that we're taking on every day. Think about it like this. I was talking to my father a while back, you know, just about our lives and our walk with Christ. And he made the point that every day we're going out into this world, you're being hit with culture from all areas. Whether you wake up in the morning and listen to whatever radio, listen to whatever television show, whatever it is, that is coming at you into your mind, therefore into your heart. And we're not saying that you reject all that is out there in the world, but obviously all that is anti-Christ should be rejected. But if we are also not waking up every day as often as we can, filling our minds and our hearts with God's truth, then the only conclusion to draw is that we're operating by the lies that are from Satan that are filtering into our minds and hearts through whatever means Satan has set up. You see? So that's why he just hammers at this to put all of this before the brothers. Verse 11, chapter 4, what does he say? Command and teach these things. So funny, I was at a conference years ago, and a pastor was speaking there, and he was just going off on a tangent. I mean, it was really kind of funny listening to it, and I think his nerves had him a little jacked up, and he was just kind of like I get sometimes. But it was so funny when he got to the point where he said, command these things, and I think it was 2000, when was it, 2000, and maybe it was 2008 or whatever, but I'll never forget, he said, command? Command? In 2008? Implication, of course, as we, you know, go with today. Well, you don't, you know, the old stuff, you know, well, don't judge. You know, don't be harsh. Don't tell. And sure, don't be harsh. Be gentle, as he says here. But just the contrast from where we've come from just years past. And I'm not saying everything from years past was right either. But, you know, the idea today is you don't command. All I'm saying is what Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Command. There you go. What do we command? God's truth. Why? Because Satan is sowing his lies. So our job is to put it out there and uphold it and pray for God to use it. And he promises he will. Verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth. I love this. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In other words, what you say and what you do must flow from the truth. And someone may try to despise you, young Timothy, but they will have no grounds for it. They will not, because you have not let them despise you. You see? Verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. There it is again. This focus on what is taught. Persist in this. You get that? This isn't a sleepy, you know, picture. This isn't a, you know, lounging on the couch. This isn't a kind of shady day on the hammock type of picture. Persist in this, right? Why? Because you're in war. You're going to be beat up. You're going to be bleeding. You're going to be hurting. You're not going to want to persist in this. You're going to want to run. I have to believe that's even why Paul was writing this stuff to Timothy. Persist. And here's why. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. How does salvation come? How does perseverance? How are you going to make it through the threshold of death and on into eternity in the presence of God? By this right here. The teaching, faithful according to God's word. Satan is close. He's on the inside, and he is sowing his lies. 1 Timothy 6, just real quickly, a few things. Here it is again. Teach and urge these things. Teach and urge. What things? Everything he said. Everything that he would say. 1 Timothy 6, 20 through 21. Oh, Timothy! You hear that? He's not saying, hey, now Timothy, now something you really ought to just consider, think about here. No, he's saying, oh, Timothy! Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. What is that? Everything we've talked about. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 13. Just going to just read these to you real quickly. 1, 13 through 14. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1, 13 through 14. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, and in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By, how do you do that? The Holy Spirit who dwells within us. There's the great news. You're not on your own. Remember what I told you earlier? Guard. Here it is again. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. This is a bloody battle. That's hard work. To guard something. Those are sleepless nights. Those are heartburn. Those are knots in the stomach initially, and then we got to deal with anxiety and worry, right? And we talked about that in weeks past. This is rough. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by his grace. How are you going to do it? Strengthened by his grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard, there it is. You hear something, God's truth, from me in the presence of many witnesses. Here's what you do. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Not everybody needs to teach. Some people are like jumping up, hey, yeah, I want to teach class, I want to teach class. Here, I want to be sure that I can entrust this to you. A faithful man. You see? 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 19, remind them of these things and charge them before God. Verse 17, talking about the false teachers, he says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. There's the false gospel. They're saying, there's no resurrection. God's not going to give you resurrection from the dead. That's not going to happen. He's saying, you know what? That's what they're saying. They've swerved from the truth. And what's interesting, Paul called them out, didn't he? But he did it with gentleness, just as he told these guys to do. You go on down, 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach. There it is again. Patiently enduring evil. There's your whole life. Correcting his opponents. There's what happens. And how do you do it? With gentleness. Why? Because God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to what? A knowledge of the truth. You see? And they may come to their senses and escape from what? The snare of the devil. We talked about this last week. So some people that are false teachers are actually ensnared by the devil, after being captured by him to do his will. You ever caught a chipmunk in one of those wire traps? You know what I'm talking about? They're caught. They're ensnared. All right? That's a modern day picture of what's happening to these guys here. This is serious stuff. He goes on, he says, avoid such people because they oppose the truth. Well, we are out of time. There is so much more that we could say. I mean, you go through Titus 1, 5 and 9, Titus 1, 10 through 11, he says they must be silenced. Titus 2, 1 through 15, declare, teach these things, rebuke. Titus 3, remind them of these things, avoid foolish controversies, insist on these things. As for, here's interesting, verse 10 of Titus 3, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Wow. There's your call. There's your primary effort. Everything we do, people, flows from guarding, protecting, upholding, proclaiming the truth. How? By faithfully teaching the truth. Why? Because you come to know God, about Him, obviously saved by God, and live for God by Holy Spirit's work in our hearts through the understanding of His truth. The great news is Jesus died, truth personified. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Why? Because as Romans says, the pattern of man is to exchange the truth about God for a lie. And our hope today, the great news for you, is that Christ died because we struggle to understand it, hear it, and do it. And He fought Satan finally. And it's recorded in Matthew 4. He was tempted. Satan twisted the truth to him, but He knew the truth. He upheld the truth, and He died for us. So if you are here today, your encouragement comes primarily through the fact that Christ died for you, the one who exchanges the truth for a lie. He held the truth because He is the truth, and you hold to Him. And if you don't know Him today, come to Him, the truth, and then dig into His Word, get connected to His church to be able to live by the truth. So would you do that? You may be asking, well, Matthew, that's great. Give me a picture. Who are some of these guys that are false teachers? What are some of these false lies? We talked a lot about them last week. But anything that has its root in you, there it is. Anything that leads you to you. Anything that says, just believe in Jesus. But what's connected is just you. In a twisted kind of you, me, me, me kind of way. It does have to do with you, absolutely. God loves you. And He saves you. He died for you. He wants the best for you. He has eternity for you. He gives Himself to you. But the teaching takes it and twists it in a bad way toward you, to where you live for anything else other than Him. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. Thank You for the reminders that You give us over and over. All throughout the New Testament, there's this, just these passages that show us how Satan is working to deceive, and the church's response is to uphold the truth and to come together on that and to be unified in it so that we can know You and we can worship You. Now, if we're honest, many of us today, our minds are cloudy. We have believed a lie. And maybe it's just because of our own heart and our flesh, we've just been tempted toward that because of some situation out in this fallen world, and we have veered from You, we have drawn away from You, and our need today is to draw near to You, to come back to You, and to love the brothers and sisters, to dig into Your Word together and do life together and make an impact in this world for Your glory, Your name's sake. So would You help us to do that? If that applies to any of us, would You help us to do that? Maybe there is someone here today that this stuff just sounds so boring. Well, the reality is, if this is boring to them, then they are deceived of the truth. Because all we did is just read Your truth today. So, oh God, we pray that You would grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, having the eyes of their hearts enlightened so that they might know the hope that they have in Christ, or that they can have in Christ, what it means to be your child, and the power that is either theirs right now because they're saved, or maybe they're not saved, but it can be. So would you bring them to a knowledge of your truth today? Help us to do all that we've talked about in love, with gentleness, to be a church that shows your love. The Bible says that they will know that they were his disciples by their love. Paul said that if there is no love, no matter what we do, we are just clanging. Symbols were noise, just noisy. Help us, oh God, give us your love. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and we'll continue to worship. If you need to talk or pray or make a decision for Christ, I'll be right down here. Love to talk to you.